Listen to Alan for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here. Just taking a look at what we're going to put in the catch-up. We'll have Diesel on the show, so I guess I'll chuck that one in there. Also, sent home from Survivor last night. Poor bloke. Absolute legend. And very, very surprising twist to see him sent home so early from the game. Our Special Forces Commando, Damien. I will chuck that chat in there as well. Had a great chat with Tasha as well. Now, she is the founder of Blooming Minds, and we talked all things Homelessness Week. That is happening this week. About what you can do to make a difference. Very great chat. Kim as well from YI hashtag Visit Collie. We'll throw in a few little things extra, like the car from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is up for sale. There is a twist, but it's a big twist, but it is up. Also, Ethan, we'll chuck this in it. Ethan joined me to play a little Bon Jovi Oki. He was awful. And that's an understatement. You'll listen and hear exactly how awful he is slash was. Yeah, just no good. I'm loving about it now. And also a viral video that's happened right here in the Southwest. We'll chuck that in there as well. That and a few other goodies. Look out for him. Enjoy the catch-up. My next guest made his debut 30 years ago, Johnny Diesel and the Injectors. And 30 years later, he's celebrating with the greatest hit album and also a tour hitting up WA in October. I have the man on the line, Diesel. Mate, 30 years, still rocking. Love it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I wouldn't have like maybe thought something like that 30 years ago. Like. Yeah. Well, in 30 years' time, I'll be, like, cranking it out. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't really start off with, like, any kind of plan, not even a five-year plan. So it was always just make it up as I go along. So that's all I've done, really.
It'd be weird for a musician to sit down and have a five-year plan or even a 30-year plan.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, I know a lot of people really know what they're doing, kind of like when they're having their holidays and all that. I really get it. I guess what's normal is, like, there is no planning, and I just kind of roll with it. And the records, yeah, they've pretty much been the catalyst for, you know, everything. I guess that's the only thing that's consistent is I've popped out these records about every, you know, 18 months to 2 years or something like that.
Yeah. Producing albums as consistently as that, does that get exhausting? Do you feel the pressure of that? Do you ever just go, maybe I'll just skip it this year and, like, give a bit of a miss?
Look, putting out a greatest hits, it definitely gives me a little bit of breathing space, you know, mm-hmm. kind of nice. Even though it's got one added track on it, like one track is hardly a whole album. So
yep.
That was really fun to record. But yeah, I'm due to like Blood, Sweat and Tears, you know, through another record soon. But I really enjoy the process. Like, you know, I'm always sad when it's kind of at the end of it. It kind of, when you start, it's always a bit like daunting and yeah, there's that kind of whole thing of like, is this going to, you know, fly or not? You know, then you get about midway through and you start sort of getting a stride. And then at the end of it, it's kind of sad because it's like, oh, well, you know, that's it. Not, you know, on to the next one. And you know, it's like, you know, it's a fleeting thing. You can't sort of savor that moment forever.
Yeah. But then you get to take it out on the road. So that's good.
Yeah, that's always good. And that gives it an extended sort of period of, I guess, yeah, celebration and enjoyment, and you get to kind of see what people sort of think and feel about it.
Talking about the Greatest Hit album, who decides on what tracks go in it?
Well, I think just the singles themselves dictated to a large degree what went on it. In this case, there's probably some things that technically were singles that couldn't make it on. My list was about 48 or something when I first yep. made it. I was told, you know, 30's good. And then for a second there, I was like, oh, that's cool. We'll just let it go beyond 30. And then we thought, nah, we should keep it to 30. That was the whole original idea, 30 years, 30 singles, you know,
yep.
which is fine by me. And, you know, I just want this package to be kind of a good set of songs within itself, you know, as a good 30 sort of set, like a good deck of, like a good hand of cards, you know, they're all relative.
And you're headed to WA as well. I'm very excited about this for your Gimme Saturday Night Tour.
Yeah, man, rocking the birds. It's really comforting to see that music is still a big part of people's lives in the West. Certainly was growing up there. It felt like it was the most musical city in the world. You know, for me, it was just music everywhere. So, yeah, it's good to come back and still feel like there's a bit of love for the live music.
Absolutely. When are we going to get you back in the Southwest, mate?
Look, you know, there's always some festivals that bring us down there.
Mm-hmm.
Failing that, look, I'm really wanting to get down to some regional areas that I haven't gotten to, and that's definitely one of them, about Tasmania. And, you know, it's always, it seems to be the far south and the far north, you know, that I have to kind of really put effort into. But yeah, I'm doing a solo tour next year called what's called Singled Out Goal, which is to commemorate the record called Singled Out, which is basically a live album that came out in 2005, going gold. So I'm adding another disc to that of some updated, you know, live tracks that people haven't heard before, recorded, and going to release it and then tour on that as well. So.
Oh, hopefully we get you there for get you here for that tour then, mate. But we are looking forward to you coming back to the state. We always love having you. Mate, congratulations. 30 years.
You.
Hell of an accomplishment. And we're looking forward to seeing you when we see you next.
Yeah, man. It won't be too long, I hope.
And last night we saw Damien sent home. Very sad. Former Special Forces Commando. Mate, how are you feeling watching it back last night?
Oh, man. Yeah, it was agony.
Yeah, it looked like you and the commando Steve had quite a connection. It was good to see they didn't rat you out in the end.
Yeah, yeah. But me and Steve have that the commando for life mentality. You know, we both know what each other have been through when it comes to being at the unit. So we had an instant connection. And I think when it came to really putting the work into structurally building that shelter, we worked really well with each other. And yeah, we kind of had that, like a bond, I guess, a brotherhood through the badge, the hat badge that we both wore in the military. So yeah, it was, I think it was hard to swallow watching it go down, especially when I think I'd done well. I personally thought I did all right in the challenges that I did. You know, I either won or drew each challenge that I was in.
That's the thing. You were hugely instrumental in the only immunity victory you guys could pick up as the champions team, and then you still get voted out. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was more threat than gameplay. You know? I mean, I had befriended Russell quite early in the series.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure that I spent a lot of time with him, knowing he had the immunity idol.
Yep.
You know, I thought I've got to buy him. You know, I have to have the guy on site so that, you know, and our sort of crew knew we've got to keep him on. We've got to keep him basically. Well, I've got to make him believe that he's friends with me and he can align with me. So within the next two rounds, we can kick him off, because unless he gets beyond round three, he's the most dangerous person there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
While there's numbers there, and then next minute, you know, we're kind of voting someone else off, and that someone happened to be me. I was a little bit shocked. I think more than anything, because I think no one from the champions team really wanted to be a tribal council and pick someone that night.
No, I didn't feel like that at all. I don't think anyone was prepared going into it. You were a former Special Forces Commando. You did lose your legs. I'm curious, when you walked into the game, when did you start playing it? Did you feel like from day, you know, first hour you're in, you're already playing the game? Or were you kind of waiting and sussing it out beforehand?
I was playing sort of slow playing the hand, I guess you could call it. I was playing more the team game. I was focused on keeping our team as strong as I possibly could. You know, everyone was as well rested as possible, and just having a good time with people while we're out there. So the team stayed in sort of good harmony, and I think that ended up working against me rather than actually, you know, I mean, in hindsight, I probably would have called out Jackie's tears.
Yeah,
I probably would have just said, "Look, I mean, realistically, that's the first puzzle. I solved half of it. You know, the second puzzle." You didn't even do what a normal person wouldn't look across at the puzzle next to you that's the same as yours.
Yep.
Do exactly what they've done and catch up.
Yeah.
But rather than that, I mean, I'm not really that type of guy. You know, I'd rather pick someone up when they're down. You know, and unfortunately, that really worked against me. You know, I'm a professional speaker. I go around and speak about the teamwork and team building style things. So to have, I guess, be put in a spot where you've kind of got to go against those, I don't think my play was really strategically sound at that stage of the game. I probably should have played it a bit harder from a bit earlier.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for the chat today, mate. And, it's a shame you didn't last any longer, mate, because I thought you were killing it.
I did my best. I did everything I could, so, yeah.
And we've been having a bit of fun with it so far, but let's do this.
Bon Jovi, this house is not for sale. 2018 Australian tour this December. Tickets on sale now. Ticketek.com.au. Get ready now for Bon Jovi, okay?
Oh. Been pretty popular so far. Of course, if you'd like to enter triplem.com.au and become a club member, Now, I've been trying to call a few club members this morning. I haven't had too much luck, but that is the reason why I've grabbed our guy that does all the work behind the scenes, Ethan. How are you this morning, mate?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I need you to be the representative for our listeners and prove how easy this competition can be if you know your Bon Jovi lyrics. Are you a fan of Bon Jovi?
Back when I was a teenager, I knew all the A-sides, I suppose, Living on a Prayer, that kind of thing. But I'm only 22, so be gentle with me.
So many youngins on the show this morning between Renee and you. You're all children. Now, what I'm going to do is I'll play the first part of a song. You then finish the lyrics.
Yep.
Now, you can't enter because you work for us. But if you were to get it right, you would then go in on the shortlist to potentially see Bon Jovi in the Eastern States.
Which I reckon that's cool. Enough of a bragging right, to be honest.
I think so too. Well, let's play this one. My blood, my love, my life.
The two remedies on tonight. I love you. I need you. I want to hold and squeeze you.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no. Straight out, no.
I was going for It's My Life, but I kind of clicked at the end there.
You're going to hold and squeeze ya.
Hold and squeeze ya.
No, this is how it actually goes, you sick man. Yeah, on your knees for you, mate.
Hold and squeeze is pretty wholesome.
Depends how you're doing it,
big
mate.
Big hug. A lovely hug.
Ethan, you were meant to be an example of how easy it is to win, but you unfortunately have let me down. But I liked your singing, so I'll give you a point for that. I'll give you... That's for your singing.
I appreciate that.
No problem at all. Of course, Bon Jovi, This House Is Not For Sale 2018 Australian Tour. This December, tickets are on sale right now at tickettech.com.au. If you'd like to enter, triplem.com.au is the website. Become a club member. We're going to do it a couple more times today with Dan and Suze. Sorry, I'm just looking. I'm a little disappointed. Brian Ferry on the way for you next. And tonight we are celebrating a huge milestone in this country. At around 9 o'clock tonight, we are expected to hit a population of 25 million people. Let's celebrate. I don't know. It seems to be a big deal about it. Of course, obviously, population's been rising and rising. Pretty much double the population of the country since the 70s. And it's going to continue to rise and rise and rise. We're expecting to hit another big, massive milestone in just a couple of years' time. So we will keep growing and growing. However, of course, there's been different things being said. One thing from the Citizenship Minister, Alan Tudge, has stressed that we need to see some more immigrants making their way more to country towns as opposed to city. We have seen some things in place in regards to certain visas, saying that you have to live in a country town as opposed to moving straight to the city. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that. But in the meantime, 25 million people, guys. That's why you can't find a parking spot anymore at the front of your shops. There you go. Just in case you're curious. This week is Homelessness Week, running from the 6th to the 12th of August, and it's something definitely worth talking about. We do notice, not just in Bunbury, but in towns all over the southwest, the homelessness rate has been increasing and increasing. And if you've ever been wondering what you can do about it, I have someone to give us some advice right now on the line. Mental health strategist and founder of Blooming Minds, Tasha Broomhall. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Now, let's go through a few things that we can do to actually make a difference to help homelessness.
Okay, one really simple thing at this time of the year is gather up all of last season's jackets and coats and beanies, all those things that many of us replace annually just because of changing colours, etc. Gather up the stuff that's got some life still in it and either find a charity that is supporting people locally, so not just dropping it in the bins that then get recycled to the shops, but actually a charity that provides often meals or other support services to people who are living homeless, and they'll often be collecting those sorts of items that they can hand out at their meal services so that people can grab something warm, particularly in this bitterly cold weather.
Absolutely. I always hear about charities asking for people to help out. Now seems like as good a time as any.
Absolutely, really critical. And you guys down that way have a few different services that operate to support people who are homeless. For example, you've got the Bunbury Soup Van, which I've heard some fantastic feedback about the great work that they're doing. So find someone local, find someone that you know, is obviously aligned with your values. So if you belong to a church, find what your sort of church group is doing, or, you know, find one of the non-church-based services if that's more aligned with your own values. But find someone and say, right, I've got 4 hours, what can I do? Sometimes it's actually really simple things, like they want somewhere that they can store all of the stuff that comes in. So if you've got a corner of a shed, you could actually store some stuff for them. Sometimes it's about someone driving some supplies around or delivering goods for them. So if you've got a trailer, those sorts of things. It's just really practically giving your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And a tip as well for those of us who stay in hotels pretty often.
Yeah, so I've got a group of friends and I who we gather up all the toiletries from hotels, and once every quarter we donate it to a charity. So, you know, most of us take our own supplies along to hotels, or they recoup them every day. And a lot of hotels actually, if they're not sure if the last guest has used them or not, they actually throw them in the bin, even if you haven't used them.
Oh.
And that's so incredibly wasteful. Obviously not all hotels, but there are a few chains who do that. And so if instead we gather them up and then we donate them to a homeless charity, those are the perfect size for people who are living rough, because they don't have necessarily the bag space to carry some huge supplies around, and that can then help them freshen themselves up in public toilets, etc.
Yeah, 100%. What's some other tips that we can take on?
I know that for me and for my staff, whenever we're around the city in the early morning, particularly this time of the year, if we're grabbing ourselves a coffee, we'll grab an extra one to go and hand it out to somebody who we see sleeping rough in the CBD. We're usually out quite early and we see people who are still sleeping up against buildings, etc. So we'll drop off a coffee. In summer we do the same with, if we're grabbing a bottle of water, we'll grab one spare to go for somebody else. And lots of cafes of course do the pay it forward, so you can actually just pay for one and then they'll pass it on to someone. And if you've got a favourite cafe and they don't already have that program, badger them and ask them to put it in, because it's such a fabulous way that all of us can get involved with such a simple effort.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that advice there, and hopefully that helps someone out who's been thinking about helping but just hasn't figured out a way to do it yet.
Thanks so much, Alan.
Love it. That's some great advice there. Tasha Broomhall, founder of Blooming Minds, and some great advice. Our Homelessness Week is this week, so do take a moment to either, I don't know, if you want to volunteer, you want to give some funding, plenty of options out there. We're going to organise a chat as well with the Bunbury Soup Van. We're probably going to do that tomorrow. So just do what you can. Obviously, this is an issue that's not going away and we need to address it. So let's do that. Hey, Nick, I love it when a video is filmed here in the Southwest and it gets to pick up a little bit of traction, a little bit of steam, and just go a little bit viral. And that is what's happened to one Southwest footballer. Not for any part of the game, didn't kick a goal or a point or anything that was actually inspiring. In fact, the team lost by 100 points. But that's not why it's going viral. It's going viral because the guy decided that in the middle of the game, it'd be good to go out there and just grab a slice of pizza. His mates, you've heard in the past, normally water or maybe even oranges during a break, but no, he's decided to go for a slice of Domino's pizza. The video's pretty funny. He comes jogging off the field. His mates are obviously all sitting there with about half a pizza, comes up, grabs a couple of slices, jogs on back. Well done to him. If this was Sports Tonight, that would be my play of the day. Kim on the line from YI hashtag Visit Collie. Good morning. How are ya?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I am doing well. A bit of buzz around Collie at the moment. You guys are getting a Thai restaurant.
Yeah, we are. 8 Thai ladies. They will be opening in Collie tomorrow on Forest Street. That's like the main street down from the railway line. And the best part about this is it's real Thai food.
Oh.
The cook, the lady that owns it, Wanaporn, she is Thai herself and she cooks the real deal.
That's what I like to hear. So often you hear about restaurants opening and you're like, their people aren't the actual nationality of the food they're cooking. So that's great. That's a great win for Collie.
Yes. So they will be open for lunches and for dinners. I haven't actually confirmed how many days of the week, but if you check out their Facebook page, 8 Thai Ladies, or YI hashtag Visit Collie, we will confirm how many days of the week that they're going to be open. But the menu looks fantastic.
Now, 8 Thai Ladies, that name rings a bell because that used to be a restaurant just outside of Collie, didn't it?
Yes, it did. There's a blueberry farm just out of Collie, which Wanapourne also runs, and the restaurant used to be out there. But so that it's more accessible to people in town, she has moved into a building in town and reopening there in the morning. The building, I was down there on Sunday, it's all been completely refurbed. It's got a state-of-the-art kitchen, beautiful new decor. I reckon it's probably the smartest building in Collie at the moment.
That's great. That's saying a lot considering you guys have got that art gallery.
Yeah, that's true. The art gallery might give it a bit of run for money. Different things, though, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm not exactly going to get a delicious Thai meal at the art gallery. Kim, thanks for the chat today. I do appreciate it. If people want more information, the best place to go is the Facebook page, #VisitCollie. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you again.
And who doesn't remember the iconic 80s movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Absolutely legendary. And how cool would it be to own a bit of memorabilia from that movie? Well, forget any standard bit of memorabilia. How about something from this particular scene?
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT, California. Less than 100 when made. Father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion. It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
Oh, I gotta love it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, absolutely legendary movie. And you could have the chance to actually buy that car, the Ferrari, the one that, you know, is basically the big massive story point of the whole thing. The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT. The only catch with it, but however, if you are thinking about purchasing it, is it's not actually a Ferrari. Yeah, that's a little fun fact for you. It was built to look like a Ferrari by a Californian company, Mondena Designs, but it is not really a Ferrari. It's not even close. It's just got the Ferrari badge on it. So if you're looking at buying it, you'll kind of have a Ferrari. I think you'll be more happy the fact that you got something for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But yeah, just not really a Ferrari. However, in saying that, it's expected to sell between $250,000 to $300,000. So get your bids in if you're interested.